Got to maneuver here a little bit. Can y'all hear me okay? Because the enemy, he tried, but he failed again.
Amen.
And again.
Amen.
And again.
Amen.
I'm going to have to remove that, Mr. Ish. I'm sorry. Glory to God. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Then I'll tell y'all what he tried, but he failed. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you right now just saying thank you, because you are a great God. You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are a merciful God. And we just thank you, Father. And we lift up tonight's service to you, Father God, and we bind every scheme, attack, and assignment the enemy has sent to come against this service. And we lose the peace and the power of God. We lose the protection of God over this service right now and over your people, Father God. And we just thank you. Father God, all of you and none of me. You say to me what you want me to say to your people and myself. And I just thank you, Father God, because you are a faithful God. And I turn this over to you right now. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place. Move around at your free will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So it all started. We changed internet providers. So therefore, couldn't figure out how to get my printer to work. Okay. Not an IT person. Not my thing. I'm turning it on and off. That's about all I can do, and press the button. It wasn't working. You know what? Forget this. Typing up my message, and went to save it in Word. It wouldn't save. I lost it one time, then I had to type it all again. Okay, so then today, my daughter-in-law, my oldest son's wife, was in a car accident. Praise God, not luckily, but praise God, the children was not in there with her. Someone didn't see her and pulled out in front of her, but praise God, she is okay. Another black eye for the enemy.
Amen.
So I text Pastor Sharon and say, hey, I need to print. Can I print it off at church? Sure, absolutely. Okay. So Mr. Ish was being Mr. Ish was back there. Ish knows all. We couldn't get it to work. It normally works. We tried 3-4 times. I said, you know, and before I walked out of the house, the Holy Spirit said, grab your laptop. So I turned around and went and grabbed my laptop. So, glory to God. But God, the enemy tried. He failed again. And normally I take a day off or half a day off. I couldn't do that today. And I had meetings up until like 6 o'clock. But praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devil, you got a black eye.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Well, the title of the message is Count It Done.
Amen.
This is faith. This is faith. Count it done. And when I reference Kenneth E. Hagin, I am referring to his book that the last 8 messages I've done is based on his book, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Y'all, I'm telling you, this is an awesome book. An awesome book. And actually, each of my messages, except for the first one, has just been based off one chapter in the book. Because you get so much from that one chapter. And so, but I'm telling y'all, this is an awesome book that will going to be used over and over again, because I know I've missed something, so I got to go back and read it again. But this is such an awesome book. So, but this, when I reference Kenneth E. Hagin, this is the book that I'm referring to. So glory to God. You know, faith is such a small word, but with huge results and benefits, if we only believe it and count it done. We must count it done. And faith is the only way to please God. And this is biblical. Hebrews 11 and 6. In the King James Version, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That diligently seek him. Not just, oh, let me go to God and pray about this. You know, one time, oh, he didn't do it, so let me just try number two. Let me go to plan B. Let me go to plan C. No, diligently seek him, running after him, diligently seeking him. Just like Jesse sought me when he wanted to date me. Diligently. Diligently. Diligently seeking me, okay? Diligently, I'm just saying, diligently. Y'all know, Pastor Rock, you did it too. You probably diligently sought after Pastor Sharon. Am I right, Pastor Sharon? Yes, yeah, see? Derek, I'm sure. Exactly, thumbs up, Mr. Ish. You diligently sought after Miss Bonnie. I'm just saying, y'all. Steve, all right now. But we need to seek God like that. Amen. Diligently pursue him. We need to seek him that way, diligently. The Message Version says, "It's impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. So how can you have faith in something that you don't believe it exists? You've got to know he exists to have faith in what he has said and what he has done. And the another version indicates, that the Names of God version says, "No one can please God without faith. Whoever goes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him." The Passion Translation says, "And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him." Amen. Diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God without that faith. You've got to have the faith. You've got to count it done. Romans 4:17, the Passion Translation. That's what the scripture means when it says, "I have made you father of many nations." He is our example, talking about Abraham. "And father, for in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and called into being things that don't exist yet." The New Living Translation. This is what the scripture means when God told him, "I have made you father of many nations." That's because this happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Yes. So if we ask our Father God for something and it hasn't even been created yet, guess what? He'll put it in the minds of somebody, even maybe even you, to create it. That's the type of God that we have. That's the type of God that we serve. Even if it doesn't exist, he will make it, but you got to believe it. You've got to believe it. And Kenneth E. Hagin states in his book, "Faith calleth those things which be not as though they were." We must count it done by faith. For an example, a wayward child who has gone away from the Word of God, who was brought up in the Word, who knows the Word, but they strayed away. We got to have faith that they will come back because God said it in his Word. Proverbs 22:6, "Train them up in the way they should go, and when they are old, he will not depart from it." God also said in Isaiah 54:13, "All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great." We have to hold on to that and count it done. We can't be moved by what we see. It's only temporary.
That's right.
It's only temporary. We can't be moved by what we see. It's hard sometimes. I'm not saying it's easy. But we cannot be moved by what we see. It is only temporary. Only be moved by the word of God, because it is forever, never changing. We must have faith in these instances and others and count it done based on the word of God. Kenneth E. Hagin talked about in his book that I've been referencing, what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. He talked about when he was ill, a time he was ill, where he had woke up one night and one eye would not shut. The side of his mouth had no movement. And when he laughed, the left corner of his mouth seemed to run all the way around to his ear. You know, he wasn't right. He was sick. He had an issue, like a paralysis or something, like temporary paralysis or something like that. And he went to a Baptist church, as he put it, and wanted someone to get, it wasn't Methodist church, let me make sure. He was a Baptist boy, and he went to a full gospel church where they laid hands, got some oil slanging and everything, you know? And so he went there because he wanted to get hands laid on him, and they believed in healing, and he did too. And so he did that. And when, at the end, they wasn't going to have that type of service that night, and he sat in the back of it. But what if he hadn't spoke up? But he spoke up. He spoke up, and he said, hey, I need somebody to lay some hands on me. I need prayer. That's Wanda's version of that. Uh-huh. But he spoke up, even though they weren't having that night because they had some other business to take care of at the church. But he spoke up. And the brother there told him to come on down, got out the oil, laid hands on him, prayed over him. And at that time, he said, amen, that he was healed. So it hadn't manifested yet in the natural. And the people in the church, a group of friends, he was walking with, a young lady that he was there with, walking with, they said, well, you're not here. He said, yes, I am. But it don't look like it. He said, but I'm healed. Uh-huh. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He was moved by the word of God. And God's word said that we are healed. Yes. Jody, you are healed. Yes. Jody, you are healed. Yes. All is well in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Amen. All is well in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You are healed. Count it done. You got to go through the process, but count it done, because you are healed. Amen. Glory to God. But he said, I'm healed. He wasn't moved by all the mess they were talking. Uh-huh. He said, I'm healed. Went to sleep. Well, it's still there. It was still there. But God. Uh-huh. But God. Yeah. But God. When the enemy was telling him, oh, you're not healed. You know how he talks to us. And he was talking to Kenneth E. Hagin the same way. You're not healed. And he said, I am. He praised himself to sleep. He praised himself to sleep. And how hard can it be to sleep with one eye open? Because it wouldn't close. He even tried to pull it down with his finger, but it would just creep right back up, what he stated in the book. But he got his healing. It manifested. It was already there in the spiritual, but it manifested in the natural. Because he believed. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He spoke it into existence, and he believed what he said. He believed when that pastor laid hands on him. He counted it done. He counted it done. It was all done. It was done. Somebody trying to call Mr. Ish. Ish knows. Ish knows. And they know Ish knows. So, but he counted it done. He wasn't moved by what everybody was saying. He was only moved by the word of God. We've got to get to that point where we don't care what the world is saying, even what Christians are saying. Because you have some faithless Christians. They really want you, Mr. Ish. But we have to be only moved by the word of God. If he says we are healed, so be it. That's it. It's done. count it done. We are healed. We are healed. Glory to God. Mark 11, verse 23 to 24. I'm trying to do this without a mouse, y'all. I'm trying to use this little thing here that I really don't like. Scrolling down. I'm old school. I need a mouse. But anyway, glory to God. The Holy Spirit got me. He's helping me. Mark 11, verse 23 to 24, the Amplified. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Kenneth E. Hagin believed. He believed that he was healed and his healing manifested, regardless of what he saw. The easy to read version says, the truth is, you can say to this mountain, go mountain, fall into the sea. And if you have no doubts in your mind and believe that what you say will happen, then God will do it for you. So I tell you to ask for what you want in prayer. And if you believe that you have received those things, then they will be yours. The Message version, and this is from 22 through 25. Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shoving or hemming or hawing, it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life. And you'll get God's everything. God's life, embrace it, and you get God everything. God owns everything, so we get God everything, we can get everything. Okay. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. So that could be a blessing blocker, a hindrance of manifestation of what you're praying for. If we're not forgiving someone, we have to release that person. You got to release them so God can release, like the sun, let it rain, open up the windows of heaven and let it rain. But if we're not forgiving someone, it's blocking it. You're locking your window in heaven. It's blocking it. So we got to forgive. We want God to forgive us. And we can't forgive someone that happened 20 years ago. Even if it happened 20 minutes ago. You got to forgive. You may have to forgive every 5 minutes, but you got to, just say, Lord, I forgive them. Okay, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, I forgive them. I really do forgive them, Lord. Help me. Got to do what you got to do. But we got to let it go. We got to let it go. Let it go and let God. And we are children of faith, just like Abraham, as it states in Galatians 3 and 7. So understand that it is the people who live by faith with confidence and in the power and goodness of God who are the true sons of Abraham. And why did he say it like that? The true sons of Abraham. The true sons of Abraham, because the true sons of Abraham live by faith. Abraham lived by faith. He walked by faith. When God told him that he was to make him father of many nations, that he was going to give him a son, he was 100 years old. He was like, okay. But he had faith that God can do it. When God told him to take his son up there to kill him, to sacrifice him, he did it. But he did say by faith, we will return. He said that by faith, we will return. So in order for us to be true sons of Abraham, and sons translate to daughters as well, y'all. Let's not get all whatever. Amen. We have to live by faith in order to be that way. Here we go with this again. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We must call things into existence, as I was talking about earlier. Call things that be not as though they were, as though they are. God did it in the beginning when he spoke, let there be light. When he spoke with, you know, spoke the fish and the birds and the trees and the, all of the animals into existence. And then he made us in his image. He said, let us make man in our image. We are another speaking spirit, just like our God. Let's imitate our God. We can speak things into existence, whether they're good or bad, Christians. Watch what you say. Oh, you're killing me. No, you're not killing me. Oh, I love you to death. Mm-mm, please don't. Love me to life. Deviled eggs. I still don't like that. They're stuffed eggs. You're going to bless something and call it the devil. No. Watch what we're saying. Watch what we're saying. Because we can't speak it into existence. We can't speak it into existence. Hebrews 11 and 1. The Amplified Version. Now faith is the assurance, title deeds, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Faith is the assurance, a title deed. When you get the title deed or the title to your vehicle, you know it's paid for, you know it's yours. The title to your home, you know it's paid for, you know it's yours. Jesus paid big time. He paid. We have the title deed. And faith is that assurance. Faith is that title deed, you all, that what God said he will do, he will do. We just have to believe that. And when the enemy starts talking, show him the title deed, your Bible. Get your phone. That's your title deed. It's in the Word. That's your title deed. The common English version says, faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. What are you hoping for? What are you truly hoping for? Have faith that you're going to see it. The International Children's Bible says, faith means being sure of things we hope for. And faith means knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. The wind is real. You don't see it. But you know it's there when you see the trees going. You know it's there when it just swoosh by you. You don't see it, but you know it's there. You know it's real. God is real. And we can feel him, his presence. Glory to God. The Message Version in verses 1 and 2 in Hebrews, it says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. And God says we are peculiar people. We're set apart. Faith is what sets us apart from everybody else. That's what set our ancestors, made them distinguished among everyone else, because they had faith. They had faith. They believed. They believed. Abraham believed, and Abraham wasn't perfect. David wasn't perfect. But look at what God did for them. We are not perfect. And look at the things that God has done for us. And we want to doubt his word. The Passion Translation says, the fundamental fact, nope, that's not it. That's the Message version. Okay, I must then do that one. I copied the same one twice. Glory. We must believe what we are saying, that it aligns with the Word of God. We must hold fast to our confession of faith, as Kenny E. Hagin states in his book. We need to do that. Our confessions at church, our offerings, the confessions that we do at the beginning of church. It's not just words. These are what God has given our pastors. They believe it, and we need to come into agreement with them and agreement with God's, because this is God's word. And it's not just words that we're saying. We've got to believe, it's a confession. We've got to believe what we're saying. Our offering, as I tithe and give offerings, I believe and I receive. Do you really? Do we really believe and receive? Do we really? The blessings that Pastor Sharon speaks over us on Sunday mornings, they're awesome. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Because it's the word of God. It's not that the word isn't working, it's just you ain't working the word.
That's right.
We're not working the word as we should as Christians. It's there for us, but we're not working the word as we should. And I'm going to end with this scripture. Hebrews 11 and 6, I think I'm going to end with this scripture. Back to the beginning scripture that I talked about. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. No one can please God without faith. Whoever goes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's what it goes back to, the faith. And in the book, Kenneth E. Hagin's book, which is, y'all, I say this is truly an awesome book. I'm going to read this to you because it would not have done justice for me paraphrasing it, so I want to read it directly from What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Sin is disobeying God. Holiness is simply obeying and pleasing God in all things at all times. One part of God's will, and people want to be in the will of God, is that we call these things which be not as though they were. This attitude honors God because we are believing his word without outward evidence. That pleases him. He puts us into an attitude of faith to receive great. It puts us into an attitude of faith to receive great things from God. The vast majority of Christians who testify, "I want my life to please the Lord," are thinking about right conduct and good works. The Bible teaches right conduct and good works, but you have to have right conducts and good works and still not please God. There's going to be a whole lot of good people in hell because they're not saved. They do a lot of good things. They do a lot of good works. I hate to bust somebody's bubble, but it's going to be a lot of good people in hell. You got to get your heart right with him. You got to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You've got to be saved in order to get to heaven. Good works won't get you there. It won't get you there. Nowhere does the Bible say without right conduct and good works, it is impossible to please God. He did not put the emphasis there. He did say without faith, it is impossible to please him. Smith Wigglesworth said, "There is something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people just to get to you." Let me repeat that. There is something about believing God that would cause him to pass over a million people just to get to you. Count the thing done that you have asked for. Follow in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, who followed in the steps of faith of God. Call those things that be not as though they were. We must count it done at the moment it is spoken. Do not waver in the promises of God. Count it done by faith. Amen. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.